It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. It is a blessing. You know, we can count our blessings just by being here. I was sitting there thinking, you know, Lord give me three special blessings I can call my own, and being all three of my children, and two of them hold a very special place in my heart because they were early, and you know, kind of the trial that we went through getting them here. But they're not none better than the other. Okay, the older one, he means just as much to me as the rest of them. But God's good, God's faithful. And, you know, I've been thinking, you know, since Pastor's been gone, you know, we had Brother Jason preach, we had Brother Jim preach, had Brother Nessick preach this morning. And I was thinking about all three of those messages and kind of the order that they fell in. And to me, it seems like there may be somebody or some couples in church or some family in church that may be going through a hard time, a hardship in your life. You know, Brother Jason preached on faith. You know, Brother Jim preached on the children of Israel and how they had to, God sustained them through that whole time. God brought them out and God was faithful and God gave them what He promised He'd give them. And then Brother Messick this morning, he, you know, preached a wonderful message. And I want to kind of not continue on that theme a little bit this evening, but I want to bring out a message that means so much to me in my life. I've got to preach this message about 3 years ago at Camp Joy, and it wasn't the message I was intending on preaching tonight. I struggled earlier this week. I was thinking about rest, you know, and trying to go that direction, and I thought, Lord, I'm too tired. I can't preach on rest. I'll fall asleep, sure enough. So, no, but I was thinking about that, and then this afternoon I sat down, and I was praying, and I was reading, and I was just getting nowhere. And I got to thinking about Judas and how Judas betrayed Christ. And how Judas, you know, acted the part of the Christian. How Judas done all those things. You know, he walked with Christ. He'd done those things with the other disciples and everything. And yet he gave him up, you know, for 30 pieces of silver. Give him up for that. And I thought, you know, here we got Halloween tomorrow. You know, praise God, I don't celebrate that holiday. But playing the part of a Christian church is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous role to be playing. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if that's you tonight, if you're that double-minded man, you need to get your heart right. You need to get your heart right. But that's not what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. Take your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. This is going to be kind of a teaching, preaching type message. And I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation here after a while. And those of you that were at Camp Joy this year and those teenagers that were in class during the time that I taught down there this year, please don't take part in this because you've already seen it. Okay, this is going to be for the adults. I am just kind of eager to see how it pans out with them. So we're gonna try that here after a while. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to thank you tonight. Lord, we just want to thank you for your house. Lord, we want to thank you for your church body. God, we pray for our pastor tonight, Lord, as he may still be traveling or he may be home by now, God. I just ask that, Lord, you just give him rest. God, I pray that you just help him this week, God, in all that he endeavors. Lord, I pray that you give him strength to come back Sunday morning, Lord, and to give us all that we need. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you just hide me behind the cross. Lord, help me to say the things that you'd have said in this place. God, I pray that, Lord, that there be a soul here, God, that's lost. Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you that they would come to repentance, Lord. God, that they would find you tonight before they leave here. God, again, we just ask, Lord, that you anoint me with the power and the liberty, God, to speak tonight, Lord. And I pray that you put the fear of men behind me, God. In Christ's name, amen. We think about this passage of Scripture, and here, you know, it's basically talking to the church of the Laodiceans and all the bad things that happened there. And here Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, you think about that word, behold. You know, behold is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. It's a powerful word. You know, when we want to direct something to somebody, or, you know, it's a word that's kind of blew up. It says, behold. You know, it's not just like something, you know, behold this piece of wood. Behold means so much more than just what it is. It means so much more than what we are. "But behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," I want to ask you this question tonight. Is the Lord knocking on your heart's door? Maybe you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, or maybe He wants to change directions in your life. Is He knocking on your heart's door tonight? If any man hear my voice and open the door, you know, that's where it gets me right there. If we are willing to open the door, you know, He's knocking, and we have a choice at that point in time. We have a choice at that point in time whether, you know, do we look out the door? Do we peek around the curtains to see who it is? You know, do we know what God wants of us? You know, we all get irritated by door-to-door salesmen, amen? You know, they're irritating. We all get irritated by Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door. They're irritating, amen? I've got family that are Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They're irritating to me. You know, but they give me the gospel, hey, we can give it right back to them, amen? They're going to try to convince, but they're not going to want to listen to what you have to say to them, amen? But, you know, we can stand on the promise. Hey, you know what? We've got it right here. We've got it right here. God's promise. God's word. Behold. And the Bible says, behold. He says, I will come into Him. You know what? He says, I will come into you. If you're lost here tonight and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, He says, I will come into you. If He's knocking on your heart's door tonight and trying to change that direction in your life, for you to try to figure out what you need to be going or where you need to be going or what you need to be pointing to, He's there for you. He's there for you. He wouldn't want you to go in that direction. He wouldn't call you to go in that direction if He didn't want you to go that way. But it's at that point in time we have that decision. We can either decide to open the door or we can decide not to. We can reject Christ. You know, and time and time again, you know, I get thinking about a lot about you know, the Day of Judgment. And I talked to Van a little bit about this week. And it grieves me of all the times where the Lord has told me to go do something and I didn't do it. You know, all the times that He said, hey, why don't you go witness to this person? Or why don't you go witness to this person? Or hey, how about you call your dad and just tell him you love him? All those times. You know, and you know, I'm not the only one here tonight that's like that. We're all like that. We're all like that. Every day. Every day when we leave these doors tonight, we're back into that mission field. You know, God's going to work on us this week. God's going to ask us to do something that we're not comfortable doing. You know what? But as a Christian, as a new child in Christ, as somebody that has Him in our hearts, as somebody that knows the truth and we know where we're going to spend eternity, and yet we're afraid to tell others about Him. We're afraid to share the gospel. We're afraid to tell the truth. And tonight, some young man, Lord may be working on you in your life to be called to the mission field or to be called to be a preacher. Or something. I don't know. But I remember as a young man, being 18 years old, I remember when I thought real heavy. I thought, Lord, I struggled with that call to preach. I struggled and I struggled and I struggled. And I remember previously walking back with Ronnie Kelly from the swimming hole. I didn't even know Ronnie very well. Okay, I didn't know him very well at all. And I remember walking beside him and I asked him. I said, Ronnie, how did you know when the Lord called you to preach? He said it was something I just couldn't get away from. Something I couldn't get away from. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought about that the whole year and came back the next summer to camp, and the Lord really worked a thing in my life when I was 18. And I was on fire for God, and I answered the call to preach, and I got to preach a few times, and then I went to college. Young people, I want you to listen. Okay? I want you to listen. Some of you young people here tonight are on the verge of leaving mom and dad's house. You're on the verge of becoming a man. You're on the verge of becoming a young woman. Okay? You're no longer going to be under the shelter of your mom and dad. You know, it's at this point in time where, hey, you know what? They're praying very hard. They're praying with all they have to make sure you make the right decisions in your young life. And, you know, when I went to college and I got around the influence of college and all that comes with that, I made some wrong decisions. Because I was away from home. I thought I was a man. I could make my own decisions. I could do what I wanted to do. You know, and young people, I want to tell you, you're not strong enough. You're not strong enough to put God away for a little while and to play the world. I was that double-minded man. I was that double-minded man. And I remember that I played that part for a while, and I played the part of Christian. I came to church. You know, I everybody thought, hey, you know, he's probably okay. He's okay. But I wasn't. And there may be somebody here like that tonight. You're playing the part. You come to church just to represent maybe your family or to please somebody. But you know what? Ultimately, We're only here to please one person. We're only here to please Him. We're here to please Him tonight. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about those years that Lord, I wasted so much time. I wasted so much time by not doing what God asked me to do. I wasted so much time. So many souls. So many things could have been done. And it wasn't until I met my wife. Okay? I was dating her at the time, and I went down to West Plains to a church service. It was her graduation service that the church was having. And Ronnie preached on that very topic of a double-minded man. And I knew I didn't even get halfway through the service. I had to run out the back door and get down right in front of my truck. And I had to beg God to forgive me for what I'd done. For all the years I'd wasted. You know, people, I want you to listen. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Okay? God was knocking on my heart's door that day. He said, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. Behold, I'm still here. You know, and that word, sup, you know, where He says, and we'll sup with Him and He with me. I didn't really know what that meant until that day where I knelt down in front of my pickup. You know, the thing I treasured most in the world at that time, I was a bachelor. I had a very nice truck, and I knelt down in front of the thing and got right with God. I got my heart right because I knew where God was taking me. I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew what God wanted to try to mold me into. But He wanted that word sup means that He wants to have that friendship. He wants to have that relationship. He wants to have that intimacy. He wants to have that marriage. That's what it means. That's what it means. Sup with Him and He with me. You know, there's times in our life when the Lord comes knocking. You know, I was thinking just a few things come to my mind. You know, what door in our life is God trying to open? What door in our life is God trying to open? I'm thinking about the first one, being salvation. You know, accepting Him as Lord and Savior. You know, John 3:16, you know, we all know the verse. It's a very, it's a huge verse in the Bible. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son to condemn the world. You know, being a Christian is not being condemned. It's not being restricted. It's not being, you know, we can't have the pleasures of this world. Certain things, yes. But you know, I would much rather be in church service or be at a church activity, at a function, than I would be in a bar the next morning puking my head up, guts out, head up too, it don't matter. Or laying in a ditch somewhere alongside the road, praying that God will get me out of the situation that I just got myself into because I was stupid. You know, people, tonight, you may be dabbling some of those things. Alcohol, sex, drugs. You may be dabbling some of those things. Is the Lord knocking on your heart's door? Say, you know what? You know better. You know better. But you go back to salvation. God not sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why He's here. That's why He came. He came to save a wicked wretch like me. He came to save a wicked wretch like you. No, I'm no better. I'm wearing a suit and tie and I'm standing behind a pulpit tonight, but I'm no better. Pastor Reds is no better. And young people tonight, I'll tell you this, kids, that this message is kind of going towards young people. I don't quite get that, but that's okay. But if you think about this, you guys are so blessed, young people. You guys are so blessed to have a mom and dad to bring you to church, to raise you and nurture you in the things of God. I didn't have those things as a child. I remember I'd be playing out in the yard on Sunday morning at mom and dad's house. I didn't like being inside. I didn't like watching cartoons and I didn't like playing video games and that kind of thing. I liked playing in the dirt with sticks and rocks and leaves and making stuff and junking things up. You know, dad was always mad because I always lost his tools because I was making things. And I look at John Heidi's boy Cameron, and those of you that know Cameron like I know Cameron, he's that same way. He's that same boy. He likes, when he goes down to Papa and Grammy's, he likes to tinker with Grandpa's stuff. And I can't help but go back to those days and see that that was me as a young child. But I remember playing out there in the yard and on the swing set and doing those things that I remember I used to see a church bus go by. Every Sunday. Faithfully. That impression's still in my mind, that blue and white bus that Cottle Church had that went by our house. And I don't even really remember how I ever made it to getting on it. But one Sunday morning, I decided I was going to get on it. Heidi and I figured out a way to get on the bus somehow, or got invited, or they stopped by. I don't remember. But I remember they gave us candy on the bus. You know, hey, 9-year-old kid, sugar, yeah, I was all about it. I thought, hey, this Christian thing's all right, you know. If I get candy every time I get on the bus, and when I get out of church, I get back on the bus, I get another piece of candy, and I get home, and I get another, you know, hey, it's all right, you know. But I remember those things, and I remember, you know, going to church, but getting in that motion. You know, I didn't know what was being preached on. I couldn't tell you what was being taught. I didn't understand it. But eventually, I did. But young people, you're so blessed to have a family, a mom and dad, a grandma and grandpa, an aunt and uncle that'll bring you to church, that'll help nurture you in the things of Christ. But I remember also as a 9-year-old boy, I remember sitting beside Jack Williams' son, Reggie, and he passed away many years ago. And I remember that I remember sitting beside him. Because I always sat beside him in church. And he leaned over at me one day. He said, "All right, you need to be saved." And I'll never forget it. I said, "I know." Couldn't even tell you what Zach Williams was preaching on that morning. I have no idea. But I remember that the Holy Spirit was working in my heart, and I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. And I remember he brought me up to the pulpit. He knelt down beside me. And I asked the Lord into my heart that day. And then when I got up, I looked over to my left, where all the women were standing. I was on the right side of the stage where the men went, and the women were on this side. I looked up, and my sister Heidi was right there. She was doing the same thing. And that, to me, that's just kind of ironic, that here we were kids watching that bus go by every Sunday, and then we got saved on the same day. God had a plan. God was knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I had a choice to make that day. Courtney, I had a choice to make. Reggie's sister sitting over here, she knows what I'm talking about. I had a choice to make that day. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but as the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. You know, here we're coming around the holiday time. You know, it's just right around the corner. Get past tomorrow, Lord willing, and get on with the rest of it. And it's just like that. It's a gift. You know, we're all expecting a gift. Come December, we're all thinking about our wants, our want list, our wish list, the things we're telling mom and dad, "Hey, I want this, I want this, I want this." Salvation, young people, it's a gift. It's yours for the taking. Older couples, older people, it's a gift. It's a gift. He wants you to take it. It's for you. There's nothing. There's no strings attached. But you can't be saved yourself, and you cannot save yourself. You can't just want to be saved. God has got to call you to be saved. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, has got to work in your heart. You know, you can't just say, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved." You know, that is the problem, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay. That is the problem with a lot of the churches going on. There's a huge movement in the North Point Church right now in America. Huge. If you look on their website, northpoint.org, you can go through all their things and their messages, and they're welcoming everything into their church. Sodomites, women preachers, rock and roll, come as you are. What is that appeasing to? That is appealing to the flesh. My God doesn't like flesh. My Savior doesn't like flesh. He came in flesh. He died in flesh. The life that I now live, I try not to live it in the flesh. You know, but sometimes I we all go there sometimes. It's easy. You know, I've been struggling lately with, believe it or not, those of you that know me pretty well, I've been struggling with anger. I can just, bam. And I've been asking the Lord to deal with me about that. But, you know, the Lord will mold us and He'll shape us into what He wants us to be. But we got to be willing to go. We got to be willing to sacrifice. We got to be willing to lay it down and say, okay, God, I'm going to go for You for the cause of Christ because of what You've done for me that day. When I asked You into my heart, You changed my life. He changed my life. I remember when I got up from that pew that morning, I remember that I felt like I weighed absolutely nothing. And I really didn't weigh a whole lot as a 9-year-old kid. But I really felt like I didn't weigh anything. I felt like I was just floating. I can't explain it. And so many times I wish in my Christian life that I could go back and feel that again. I wish I could go back and feel that again. And the things that we try to get to, the things that I try to get at is, you know, I've been close to that feeling. I've been close to that sensation. When I go to Camp Joy and I work and I see those kids come up to the altar, especially after this year. This year, I can't explain what happened down there. I know, we come back every year and we give our spiel about camp. And the last few years, it's been great and things have been going on. It's been awesome. It's been unexplainable. But this year is something totally different. This year was totally something different. You know, I remember that Van asked me to teach during the teen week. And I'm going off on rabbit trails, but that's okay. I remember that Van asked me to teach for the teen week, and I thought, okay, here I'm going to try to get prepared. I'm going to try to be, you know, a good counselor to my cabin. I'm going to try to be all that I can be. He asked me a year in advance, and I came up with a theme immediately the Lord had been working on. And that theme was SWAT. Sacrificing, waiting, abstaining, and triumph. In that order, I taught each word on that skit. But I remember during the closing ceremonies and during the last service night, I remember the Holy Spirit moved in such a way in those young people's lives. They were, and Donnie, as you said this morning, you know, we got to reflect everything back to God. You know, when people praise us, hey, bing, it goes right back up. You know, we got to honor God with that. I've never had so many kids come up to me and say, yeah, that was exactly what I needed. That was exactly what I've been going through. That is exactly what I was doing. And I step back and I think, and when I get home, I check my email. And I see emails from parents. I see messages on Facebook from parents. So I don't know what you guys are doing down there, but my daughter is a total different person. My mom that works across the street in the public schoolhouse, she had a daughter. There was a teacher over there that had a daughter at camp. And this daughter is, in my mom's words, a diva, whatever that means. I guess I don't know. A highfalutin girl, maybe? I don't, you know, got to have all the latest and greatest things. I don't know. But mom said, I had an interesting conversation today. And I said, oh, yeah? What's that? And she told me that this mother, this girl, come up and said, I don't know what your son taught on down there, but my daughter is no longer the daughter that I sent down there. And I say these things because it's not about what I did. It's not about me. It's about what God did because I was willing. I don't want any of the glory. I don't want any of it. But to see the work, to see those kids, to go down there and automatically you start a prayer list of kids' needs and kids' wants and the things that you can see, their home life and salvation and those things. And to see them by the last day, you've seen all them prayers almost immediately answered. And kids' lives were transformed. But they were willing. The Lord was knocking on their heart's door. You know, when you can go down there and get away from the world for just a little while and get 2 or 3 days into them, and then you can start seeing the Lord transform them and mold them and break them and shape them. And, you know, that's what Camp Joy done for me. If it wasn't for Camp Joy, I wouldn't be the man I am today. If it wasn't for Camp Joy. But get off back on track here. Two types of gates. Brother, I talked to this morning about doors and gates. You know, Bible talks about that. You know, he said this morning, he said, doors and gates are made to keep things in and to keep things out. It's a peace of mind to be able to close something off or to be able to open it up. It's a peace of mind. The first gate, take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." The Bible says, and many there be which go in thereat." You know, for illustrations tonight, I got a big 12-foot gate I wanted to bring in, and I've got a little 6-foot gate that I wanted to bring in, but I didn't get around to unhitching them and bringing them down. But for example, for illustration tonight, let's use this as the gate and this as the path. You know, we can walk down through here with no obstructions, nothing in the way. You know, everything's great. The path looks fun and easy and simple. The way of the world is right in front of me. I'm going to go do the things I want to do. But the Bible says many, many, many go in thereat. By the thousands. Lost. You know, that's as I was started talking about that North Point church and many other churches around America. This is where they're at. This is where they're going. Wide. They're going through the big gate. The easy way. The gate that, hey, you know what, this is the God that I'm carving out in my mind that I want to serve. You know, I can act the part of Christian, I can think like a Christian, I can act like one, I can do those things. But I'm headed my family straight to hell by taking this road. My children that may not know Christ are headed straight to hell because I'm taking the easy road. Now we're getting to where I wanted to go. There's two gates. Young people, you can take that gate. And young people, hey, you can be going down this road and be saved. And know where you're going to spend eternity, but you can be going down this road. It would be in your best interest to get a hold of this message and turn around. Amen. And head right back to the front. And ask God to forgive you like I did, because I was going down that road. Straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. It leads to what? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You can come as you are. God is the love. God is love. And those churches that's being taught all over America, they're preaching God's love. They're not preaching God's wrath. They're not preaching the things. They're not preaching about hell. They're preaching about everything else. Being a Christian is a vase of roses. It's not. There's times in our life where it is. I thank God for being on those mountaintops when I can just look and see what God's done. And as Lindell said earlier, there's no place like Colorado, you know, and some of God's creation, some of the most beautiful things we can see. We're on a mountaintop. And then there's those times in the valley, as Brother Jim talked about Wednesday night, you know, as the children of Israel are in that valley in their life. And you may be in that valley tonight. Trying to make the decision. Do I stay? Do I go? Do I move? Or do whatever it may be. Do I answer the calling? Or do I just sit back and wait? I'm going to preach myself under conviction. I already have. Do I sit and wait? As I'm talking about this North Point Church and these other churches around America, there's churches all over that need pastors, that need shepherds, that need guidance. See what I mean? I'm already preaching myself here. We got preachers here and blah, blah, blah. And here. We all need to be doing something else. Amen. See? Got myself all rattled up. Or, We can go through the second gate. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto what? And what? Few be there that find it. You know, for illustration purposes, I'm not going to go through, but if this is a gate and this is an aisle this morning, because there's a bunch of young, mean-looking guys up here, you know, they could really make havoc on me. They could push me around. They could make fun of me. They could try to entice me to do things. This is the narrow way. This is the way of a Christian. But if I can get past all these things, if I can not give in to these things, young people, the temptations of the world, and I can get to the other side, hey, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. You know, I was thinking about the act of knocking itself and trying to picture that in my mind of Christ actually coming into my home and knocking on my door. And, you know, the act of knocking implies two things. First, that the person knocking desires admittance into your home. They want to come in. That's why we knock. Secondly, that we recognize the right of him who lives there to open the door or not to. You know, I think a lot of times in the business that I'm in, I have to go to individuals' homes, and I always want to let them know I'm there. You know, if I haven't called them previously and I knock on their door, and sometimes they're surprised to see me, and sometimes they really don't want me to be there. And I've had some good experiences, and I've had some really bad experiences, you know, with people. But I, never once have I ever tried to force myself into a home. You know, and that's exactly what God's going to do for us, is he's not going to force himself into our lives. He's not going to get out the pry bar and start jimmying the lock to try to get in. He's not going to do that. That's where you have that choice. We don't force ourselves into an open door. Neither do we try to persuade ourselves in, but we wait patiently. We may even knock again or ring the doorbell. Both actions, by being admitted or rejected by us, is just as Christ approaching our heart's door. He knocks, but then do we answer? If admitted, he comes in and dwells with us, and as the Bible says, to sup with us and us with him. But if we reject him, he doesn't throw a fit. He doesn't take all the flowers out of your flower bed and just start flinging them because he's throwing a fit. There's been times where I've went to people's houses and I've really wanted to do that. Sometimes, and Tim, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just, you know, people kind of get under your skin a little bit. But Christ doesn't do that. He doesn't throw a fit. He quietly turns away. And he may come again, and he may not. You know, that's one thing about rejecting him, is there may not be another opportunity. If you're lost here tonight, this may be your opportunity. There may not be another opportunity for you. This may be it. There may be a calling in your life where the Lord's dealing with you, trying to get you to go a direction. And you may reject him after you leave here. And that may be it. That may be it. But, you know, we try to look for direction. What is God's direction in my life? You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So far, he's directed my path pretty good since I got on the right road. Since I turned around and started giving him everything. And got myself out of the picture. I've been doing okay. I've been doing well. Depends on which gate we want to go through. Do we want to take the wide gate, or do we want to take the narrow gate? You know, at that point, I believe it's a heart condition. And like I said, you may be a child of God, and you may be facing the easy way, or you may be facing the hard way. Where you're going to get made fun of, where you're going to get scoffed, where you're going to get mocked, where people's going to to try to embarrass you because you're a Christian, because of what you believe. Some of you guys are facing that decision. You know, some of you guys will be facing that decision next year. You may graduate high school this year. You go on off to college and do whatever God wants you to do. You're going to be facing the exact thing. Do I want to take the easy road where people leave me alone? Or do I want to take the narrow way, the way I know is right, the way I know God will lead me? It's a heart choice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You know, and I'd say we all have things that we love about life, that we love, you know, in the world. But here's what God says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, we all have things in our life that mean everything to us. You know, my job means a lot to me. My family means a lot to me. My home means a lot to me. But if I put all that in front of God, I've created an idol. I've created a God. And I've created something that I'm teaching my children. Hey, it's okay to go to work instead of go to church. Or it's okay to go to a ball game instead of church. Or it's okay to go to Colorado instead of church. Sorry, Lendl asked me to keep it to about 30 minutes because he had to go watch a ball game or something. But I saw a shot there to get him back, so I took it. Amen. No. Hey, we all need to get away for a while, okay? We all need to get away for a while. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to take your family out and get away. But, you know, love not the world. You know, and I think about that verse. How much time and energy have we put in things of the world? A lot. So, those of you that have seen this, please don't participate. This is strictly for the adults. Everybody read that? You guys see that? All right, this is where you're going to help me out tonight. What are some things we cannot live without? What? Wait. What? Coffee. Hey. And I can't spell, so don't make fun of me, okay? What else? Obviously, air. Okay. What else? Food. Things we can't leave without, remember. What else?
Shelter.
I'm just going to put home there. Water? Huh?
Work.
Is that all right? That's work. All right. Over here. What can we live without? Can't live without. Yeah. Children. Oh. Huh? God? Have you seen this? All right, what else? Real quick tonight. Take three more.
Money.
What else?
Bible.
Brother Adams.
The Lord.
All right. Now, think about all them things. That may not sit there. These are a lot bigger than the ones at Camp Van. Maybe we have to do something about that next year. All right. Things of God, we can't live without. We've already mentioned Christ. Lord, same. Bible. What else? Prayer. Faith. What else?
Fellowship.
What else?
Mercy.
Mercy. Amen to that. Three more. Are you guys awake over here?
Grace.
Huh?
Grace.
Thank you. Love. One more.
Salvation.
Amen. Salvation. Okay. Now is the kicker. Let's compare. Things that we cannot live without. Number one, survey says, coffee. Can we live without coffee? Yep. Okay. Can we live without air? No. Okay. We'll take it off anyway. Can we live without our spouse?
Yes.
Can we live without our home? Yes, you can live without your home. Okay, we'll take water off. Now, can we live without money?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Do we want to live without
money?
Yeah, okay. We can live without money. Yeah, just stuck with the kids. But here's the question, okay? Can we live without Christ? Can we live without the Lord? Can we live without the Bible? Can we live without prayer? Can we live without faith? Can we live without fellowship? Not very well, yeah, that's hard. Can we live without mercy? Can we live without grace? Love? Can we live without salvation? No. Now here's my question. Why weren't all these mentioned first on this board? You know, we got three of them, but it took a little young child to get it going. Same response. We don't put our priorities straight. We don't have our priorities straight. As Christians, we tend to supply our wants and our needs before Christ. And if we really thought about it, all these things would be in order and I wouldn't have to take anything off of this board. Something to think about. Something to think about. And, you know, Lord gave that to me when I was teaching the teens downstairs while Van was doing campaign for camp. And I used it down there and got the same response. And I got the same response at camp. And then I got the same response tonight. And, you know, where's our heart? Where's our goal? Where's our direction? Where's our direction? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, but take your Bibles to Matthew 6. You don't have to turn them there, but in chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see my Savior. I can't wait to see my lost family. I can't wait the family that's gone before me. I can't wait to see Christ. I can't wait to get my crown and be able to cast it at His feet. You know, I don't think my crown's going to be very big, but we never know. You know, we never know. But I'll still cast it at His feet. And that's the direction we need to try to be heading is when I get to heaven, I want Him to look at me and say, "Well, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to get up there like many, many hundreds of thousands of people that think they're going there, and I want Him to say, "Depart from me, you sinner of iniquity, for I never knew you." I don't want to be that person. I'm not going to be that person because I've got the promise. I've got God's Word. I've got Him in my heart. But these churches around America are leading. They're going down that wide path, and they're leading millions of people to a false salvation. And when they get to heaven, they're going to get a rude, rude awakening. He's going to say, "Depart from me, you sinner of iniquity, for I never knew you." That's going to be a bad day for a lot of people. Daddies, let's make sure we're leading our house right. Let's make sure our children know right. Moms, let's make sure we teach our children right and train them right. Young people, make sure you live right. Make sure you do right. Make sure you do right. What time is it? 8 o'clock. Okay. Got another hour, Lendl. You know, lastly, there's going to be a time when we're all going to face death. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. Amen. The Lord will call you home to be with Him, or you'll go to a devil's hell forever. There's no purgatory. There's no buying your way there. You're dead. You're dead. You're either going one of two places. That's it. There's no turning back. Because He's knocked, and you've not answered. He's knocking, and you're not listening. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is He knocking on your heart's door tonight? I pray that He is. I pray that He is. We all have a choice to make. And at that moment when He comes knocking, it's up to us to decide. At that point, stand. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, God, I just want to thank You, Lord, for Your Word. God, how true it is. Lord, we thank You, God, for knocking on our hearts' doors, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, if there be one that's lost, God, that they would find You before it's eternally too late. God, help them not to play games with You, Lord, making decisions in their life. God, help them not to play games with You. God, I pray, Lord, that every time, Lord, You come knocking on our hearts' door, that we're submitted to You, that we'll do Your will. God, that You give us the strength to do those things that You ask us to do. God, tonight I pray that You be with each family here, Lord. God, I pray that You'd strengthen them. God, I pray again for our pastor. Pray that You just give him strength this week, God. Pray that You bring him back to us on Sunday morning, God, revived, refreshed, anewed. God, I pray that You go before us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you all for being here tonight. You're dismissed as you are.